This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation. Is that how we doing it? Yeah, we're gonna go with that one. That was the one. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
What up, man?
Hey, man.
Ah.
Hit me with all that abruptness.
Hey, man.
What's happening?
I'm out here chilling, man.
What's good with the people out there in Listenerville?
I hope they doing good. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to you with your ear next to the speaker.
Everybody at work doing their thing, passing the time. You know what I'm saying? The people at the crib.
Uh-huh.
You know, those is rolling in their commute.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the late Tuesday night listeners.
Yeah.
And then the early morning. The early morning Wednesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
But you know what I'm saying? It's probably, you know, 12, 1 o'clock.
It's nice.
Tuesday night.
Up late.
You know what I'm saying? Checking out the conversation. Uh-huh. Shout out to you.
Sipping something.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to you and yours out there.
Wrote the joint or something.
Really?
Maybe got nice little, some, I don't know, something that you're distracted by in the background.
Like?
I don't know, maybe
some reality TV?
Some reality TV,
on mute.
Maybe on mute with a lot of fighting. Yeah. It's still dynamic than a motherfucker.
Right.
You just turn back to it, the shit look like a fucking whirlwind of ignorance.
So you smoking a joint, you listening to the conversation.
It's a conversation.
You got ambient reality TV.
Yeah.
And what else? You got an incense burning? What kind of fragrance going on?
I think it's the weed is burning, but you could have a little fragrance burner or a nice little candle.
A little oil or a candle.
Shout out to the candle. I got a couple new candles.
Did you ever find Havana, a new Havana?
Nah, I got a few things coming through for it. This place, I think it's called Sydney Hale and Co.
Uh-huh.
They do a good candle. Then there's this.
But that's an alternative to the
Toka. They haven't. Toka hasn't brought back Havana.
Okay.
Yo, Toka, bring back Havana. Everybody. At Toka, if you wanted, this is my cause. This is one of my causes. Bring back Havana.
Havana is a flavor of candle.
We told them.
Well, they need to know now, since you got a call to action. A Toka is a company that makes candles and other shit. And Havana was a very popular fragrance.
Yeah.
And the petition is bring the Havana back. Toka.
Bring it back. But until then, I got I think it's called Brooklyn Night Owl. It's another candle company. So they've been holding me down. Shout out to them. They got some good shit.
Man, I got these joints called, I think it's Saint Muerte. So it's like, you know, it's kind of morbid when you're uninformed of the
Is that death?
yeah, the Saint of Death.
Wow.
Some shit. You know,
what they red? What they look like?
Nah, it's black, but the shit smells so fucking good.
Uh-huh.
And I had bought some. I seen them online, like, you know, one of those benevolent online nights.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, let me check these out. I bought a few of them motherfuckers. Man, them shit smell good as fuck. Then my wife come in and see the label, like, ew, what's that? You ain't doing no kind of voodoo up in this motherfucker. Like, nah.
How the label look? Or does your wife
look? It look like a fucking skull.
Okay.
Yo, but you know, it's some millennial shit. But anyway, so what I went ahead and did, you know, because I had already ordered about 10 of them shits.
How much they cost?
They just like cheap. You know, so right. Like
well, how you found them? How you found out about it?
Just on somebody on Instagram,
okay.
Like scrolling through the gram.
Uh-huh.
And then, so what I did, they smell so good.
Yeah.
I just took all the labels off.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? Now they just a labelless, you know what I'm saying, candle in the crib.
Oh, shit.
Them shits smell good as shit, man.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
So I could back a candle fragrance.
There you go, Saint Muerte
in the background.
There you go, there it is. Shit. So that's what it is. Shout out to the listeners with their situation situated.
We done made up a whole layout.
Yeah, it's actually more to that. I can't get into it now, but I got a friend of mine that's been wanting to do something about that type of thing. That shit is fire, though.
What type of thing?
Just ambiance in general. I don't want to get too specific because it's about all the way idea. You know what I mean?
Oh, but this.
Yeah, it's a further route. But we was just building.
They don't want to do nothing with us. They just want to do it in the world.
Never know. Maybe with us too. I mean, okay, I would hope so.
Okay, all shit. Right.
Yeah, if we champion ideas, we like to, you know, okay, like to collaborate.
Early investors and shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Shit, what's happening with you though?
Shit, man. It's interesting. I'm still out here looking for a new apartment.
Did you get your car?
I got my car last week.
What did you tell us?
I forgot to tell y'all.
We done been through this whole situation.
You know what?
With you.
No, my bad. I forgot to put a little button on it. Yeah, man. I got the car last week. Feels good to be back. It definitely feels good to be back. It's one or two things I need to go back and follow up with these people about. And it's a damn shame because as soon as I came, when I got my shit, I drove past my sister's crib, and I see my sister. She looked at the car, did her inspection. She's like, "What's that?" And I was like, "Oh shit!" So it was some shit with like the condensation in the headlight, and one headlight was foggy to the motherfucker.
Oh man!
And it was looking nervous, and I was like, "I hit the people." And I'm be honest with you, the fear was it's like, "All right, just let us hold it for a little bit." So we waiting on them to get the light. And then I'm going to pull up. They're going to put the light in. I'm going to pull off because I can't leave these people with that shit. I got another thing going on, too. But these are things that I could hopefully quit situations. But it felt good to be back, man. It felt good to be back on the road.
Was your playlist together?
It ain't all the way where it needs to be. It's not all the way where it needs to be. I'm still, still putting it together. I've been, what have I been fucking with recently? I've been all over the place listening to a few different things. I was listening to the most recent Richie P album, After the Verdict. And there's some shit on this.
Rich.
I think he just go by Rich. Now, he used to be Richie P. He's a kid out of Paterson, New Jersey. He's been out for a while, but then he got locked up for some shit. Oh, he had a gun case, I believe, and he beat the case. And there's the I Beat the Case album. You know, niggas, when they beat the case, they got to let you know.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? After the verdict. Right. You know, when the verdict go their way.
No doubt.
You never hear the album After the Verdict Don't Go Your Way.
Can't record it.
Well,
there's been instances of recording albums in the jail. But
it's just morale is low.
A little more difficult.
It's just like morale, nigga. Nobody want to hear. Take Keith, fuck these niggas up.
Hey, man, but then you had to work your way into being able to even get the equipment because you didn't just walk in the first day with the juice.
That's how you got to start the album. Walked up in this bitch.
And I slapped the motherfucker.
Told that nigga get a mixing board.
Fit this motherfucker.
Get that Pro Tools on deck.
My own motherfucking deck.
Shank that nigga. Shank that nigga.
Shank that nigga.
Yo, that new Shank that nigga. Wow. Oh my goodness, it's so dynamic. But anyway, so yeah, it feel good to have the whip back. You know, I'm in the whip. Been listening to I was listening to that Richie P shit. He got a mean record on there with Rock Marciano. Rock Marciano got a new album out.
You very very specific. What's this, regional?
Nah, it's just taste. It's what I like. It's what I fuck with.
What do they classify that kind of rap as? Because I'm not familiar with
Rock
this
Marciano. Rock Marciano. How would you classify that shit? I call that shit like Acura Legend rap, like '93 Acura Legend. Like, you know, when a nigga is. It's very super visual. It's visual, but at the same time, it's a lot of non sequitur stunting. You know what I mean? Off white and off weather. Well, actually, that's the record with Richie and Rock Marciano. Don't get your mango split. Your Kango won't fit. You know what I mean? Like a lot of that shit. Go ahead.
If I search on YouTube, who are the related artists?
That's what I'm about to give you.
Okay.
If I could tell in my mind, because there's a subsection, but there's a flow about these cats. And I'm going to go, a lot of people will say like Ghost and Raekwon, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They definitely in that tree. I'm going to go even a step further back, and I'm going to say a good CL Smooth got a lot to that, where it's like, Mechadon, Sit-a-thon. And the shit just sound ill, but right, sometimes, right, you know what I mean? It's like a collage of
right, right, right.
vibes.
Right.
And then the music is always crazy samples, very like alchemist type vibe. You know what I mean?
Like niggas not who always went to college.
Nah, maybe, but like niggas that was really I guess, you know, pride themselves for being very hands on, I guess, in the illegal activities.
Oh, so they not like CL Smooth. Not like CL Smooth.
Well, CL Smooth as far as flow go.
Okay.
Ghost and Ray. This is drug rap. Right, This is drug dealer rap.
Is it like them cats
cocaine
from, like
pinky
them cats
nail?
Both Buffalo, what's them cats?
Talk about West Side Gun and Conway. Yeah, they related. They in the Venn diagram.
I like Conway.
Yeah. You would fuck with Rock Marciano, Kai. Kai fucks with Rock Marciano. Okay, like they collaborate. Yeah, man. It's a lot of that. You know, like there's a lot of that Sonic shit. Mayhem Loren is in there. Shout out to Willie the Kid. There's a lot of cats that got that. There's this there's a Sonic sensibility, mm-hmm. You know, when you know it. It's like vintage Polo. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You know, opulent shit from a certain era. You know.
Is this would you classify this as one of your eras?
It's definitely on the vision board.
That influenced you.
Absolutely. It's definitely having some leather in the whip. It's definitely maybe a hardwood steering wheel, baby. It's like, you know what I mean? Okay. It's good driving music.
You feel
good about it. I say all that to say Rock Marciano just came out with an album called Behold the White Horse. That shit's $30. And I haven't bought it yet because it's $30, but they got it so you can hear it.
Where are you streaming it at?
I don't think he's streaming it at this point anywhere. He's doing like maybe like a Nipsey Hussle type of thing. You know, when you try to activate your audience and monetize mm-hmm. what they love is. You say, listen, I heard you on your podcast talking about, you know, how much you like the shit. So listen, here's my latest offering. You know what I mean? It's very like, I guess, boutique in a way. Like, mm-hmm. listen, if you fuck with it, you should be proud to pay. That was the Nipsey Hussle shit, proud to pay.
What were we paying for?
With Nipsey, it was like a mixtape. I think the first one might have been Crenshaw mixtape or Marathon mixtape, whichever one it was for sale. Mm-hmm. And it was like $100.
And you bought a CD or?
I think that was a CD. Now, I'm not sure, again, like,
That's when, was it Jay or Puff bought the mixtape?
That was when Jay bought a bunch of them. Jay bought like 100 of them or something like that, or maybe 10 because it was $1,000 or $100, so he bought 10, something like that. But, you know, it's a heat check on a certain level. It's mm-hmm. like, I want to really see if these likes are for real. Are these likes tangible? Can I cash these likes?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because these likes, you know, I can't cash them. I mean, it's cool. I appreciate it.
That's what's up. Shout out to the motherfuckers cashing in.
Sound wary, nigga. What's going on, man?
I just sound like, hey, man, shit, I'm not cashing in on the love.
You not?
I need to, man. You know what I'm saying? I need to drop something for a motherfucker to buy at $100.
Man.
Where's the love? Huh? You know what I'm saying?
Where's the love, man? You don't feel no love?
I feel it, but I need to. I ain't feeling it like Nipsey feeling it.
You gotta get these people something they proud to pay for.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That wasn't wary. It was more of contemplary.
All right. I'm with that. Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So, yeah, listening to that type of shit, you know, so funny, man. I was listening to the Kanye Ye album yesterday, you know. Much as, you know.
That's what, the last shit that came out?
Yeah, the one that, you know, cats was, you know, you listen to it with a bit of an attitude. The last one, mm-hmm. the seven joints. as much as these shenanigans got everybody feeling a certain type of way, sonically, man, there's some shit still on there. Like, he know how to put some records together still. There's a couple records on there. Like, that shit just sound good. I don't know if it was just because I've been back. I'm back to my regularly scheduled speakers, and mm-hmm. I'm just revisiting a lot of shit, but yeah, that mm-hmm. shit sound hard. What else have I been fucking with? I was dipping into Lil Wayne's catalog, you know, since Carter 5 came out, so mm-hmm. I went back to Lil Carter 3. I was listening to Let the Beat Build. That shit was crazy. That little Dr. Carter shit that Swiss did that sounded like a Diamond D beat, that was crazy, man. You know. Mm-hmm. I'm on it like that. I was
You in your bag, man.
I am, man. Like I'm out here. Thank you, brother. Man. I appreciate it, man. I'm out here, man. What else? Rap Evolution just came back to Netflix. I hit you about that.
Yeah, man. I watched the Miami one.
What you think?
Last night.
Talk to me.
It was cool, man. It's a great starter course on, okay, you know what I'm saying, hip hop as a whole. You know what I'm saying? It's something that, you know,
broad strokes.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with rap, this is like a great introductory.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying, having encyclopedias at the crib. You know, you get a paragraph on this and a paragraph on that. Enough to write you a little paper for fifth grade.
A blurb.
Shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You can write your paper for fifth grade.
But what about
grade.
That deep dive?
Nah, it ain't no.
What they need for the deep dive? Man. Where would you have first descent? Where would you have gone? What would you have?
Well,
what
I
would
mean,
you have touched?
First and foremost, you know what I'm saying, when he covered Miami, you know, it was just it's just not enough time. It's not enough to even get like he definitely started with Luke.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Which doesn't really give you a baseline of how that tempo and speed even got to Miami. They just said Caribbean vibes, but you know what I'm saying? It was a lot that came along with the Caribbean vibes that let it be bass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You skipped over, you know, all of Rick Rubin and the 808 dropping down that bass on the records, you know what I'm saying, to even give Miami something to work with, a tool to work with to base the sound on.
Yeah, I ain't even hear about your man Davey D, right? Or what's my man said? The sound clear. What's your man?
Disco Dave. They just stuck with Luke and Ghetto Style.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it was from Luke's perspective, which is cool. Then you had Disco Rick, who was signed to Luke,
okay,
which is cool. And you had Trick Daddy, who started with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a Luke family tree, which is good. That's a great bass line, but it's a broad stroke. I feel like, and then they, you know, and it just stayed on Two Live Crew. I feel like when they went to Houston, they introduced a lot more rappers as being a part of it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you had, like you said, you had Disco Rick there, but you didn't really introduce him as a rapper that played a part in doing it. You didn't introduce none of the other groups that made the scene what it was.
Right.
You know.
Just went with the highlights.
You just went with one highlight and kind of broad stroke through it and then roll straight to Houston, which is cool. Like I say, the show is a 30-minute show that, you know, breezes through a lot of it, but it's good broad strokes, as you say.
Mm.
But it's not that deep dive at all.
Yeah, I got to get back to it. I started with that, and then I haven't watched the rest of them yet, but it looked like it's pretty good from what I've been seeing.
Yeah, I saw the first season of a couple of episodes, you know what I'm saying? It's like a great way of one person talking through his journey. And that's pretty what, you know what I'm saying, that's the important part is that.
Right.
But I think now in this particular season, it's less about his journey and more just about the history. Because he didn't say how he was introduced to Miami or anything like that.
Right.
It just was, this is Miami, I'm in Liberty City, but this is what it is.
It was more like now he's like on his historian thing. He's following up the story, the storyline. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it made more sense as an interesting piece coming from, okay, this was my experience with these sounds.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Well.
But if we was doing a deep dive, we would definitely be talking about Dance to the Drummer's Beat, Pretty Tony, Superstars, Roller Tech, you know, all the stuff that led up to Ghetto Style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Ghetto Style. Then Ghetto Style came, and you had a lot of other crews, but Luke was, he dropped Throw the D.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like they said in that was what changed everything. Once Throw the D hit, everybody wanted to make that kind of record that had those ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
The bass, deep 808s, you know, talking reckless, sexual, booty, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? With all those things, those ingredients, then everybody came to play.
Mm.
And then, you know, it was a host of different groups until you got to JT Money and Poison Clan, who gave you a more of a hip-hop, you know, feel that with lyrics and, you know, street rap.
So it was it was a scene full of a lot of Two Live Crew-influenced groups that became the scene until like JT Money kind of broke out and then redefined it a little bit more lyrical.
Right.
And then kept going
and
like that.
And even they were signed to Luke, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So Poison Clan originally had JT Money and Drugs and Uzi, who those two cats, Drugs and Uzi, was from New York. They was from, I guess, East New York.
Mm.
But they came to our high school, I guess, like 10th, 11th grade, 10th grade, something like that.
Signed to Luke, or they got signed while it was
down? Nah, they got signed when after they moved to Miami.
It was brothers?
Yeah, they were brothers, and then they were cool with JT and all them cats.
Okay.
So once they got signed to Luke, you know, that the when JT got with Luke, it was more, he came in as a dancer almost, a throw the D boy.
Right.
You know, and then once they started rapping and got signed as Poison Clan, they had more of a, you know, a gangster vibe to it, street talk, not necessarily gang banging because that's, we weren't really doing that. It was just the voice of the streets. So, you know, it was a lot. If we do the deep dive, we could go a lot of places.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I know, you know.
I'm listening.
That's not what we intended to do here, but that's,
that's what it turned into. I want to know where it went. You know, shit.
Yeah, man. So, but, you know, you got to include all those electro records that's forgotten, you know what I'm saying, from Planet Rock to Clear, Body Mechanic, you know what I'm saying, all those cats, Man Parrish, you know what I'm saying, producer who made, like, Boogie Down Bronx and all that type shit. Like, those were the records that up in New York, people were breakdancing too.
Right, but Clear, they would rap, or that was like disco,
nah,
right?
No, nah, it was electro, whatever, funk or whatever they was calling that shit.
K-L-E-E-R, right?
No, Clear is funk. That's Clear, but it's a song called Clear that Missy used in music.
Okay.
But you know, ready. One, two, three.
Who is
four.
That?
It's called a group called Cybertron.
Okay.
And the record is called Clear. And those are the records that left you enough beat for the DJs to just talk shit
get
over.
Get it off.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And talk all the way through, enough breakdowns, enough beat changes that keep everything interesting. So it was like after breakbeats, these were the records that left you room to just freestyle and do all the shit you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So those were the records that DJs was playing, and people weren't breakdancing to them. That was just the gangster ass music that niggas with cars was playing because the bass was hitting, you know what I'm saying? DJs was riding on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were the records that sounded real good in the big speakers that had 808s, but before Rick Rubin dropped it down low.
Mm.
When Rick Rubin started to drop it on It's Yours, Tila Rock's record, he dropped he put the decay on it a little more, so you felt it a little more. Like, oh, shit. Then after that, he did Together Forever with Run DMC.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was over.
That's that run.
No. 1-2-1-2.
Oh.
And I say, boom, 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 boom.
Okay. That shit hard.
After that?
Them niggas, Run DMC did so much for the three-quarter leather. The three-quarter leather ain't never been the same since Run DMC was at their prime, boy. That shit was something.
Run DMC don't get enough props out here, man.
You don't think so?
On the throwback, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like because
Dr. J and them
the
niggas.
The beat, like the drum from their era before the 808 kicked in, the drum was so stiff and hard, and that ain't really like the sound right now.
Right.
Like the 808 still popping. So it feels like they get left out of the throwback mixes and all that shit.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't hear enough of the cats who did the most for the, you know, the art form.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's all. But, you know, after that Together Forever, then it became bass.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I can see what you're saying, because it is like, because it's old school, the scale has slided. So old school encompasses a lot of shit.
Right.
And it's like kind of like Run DMC, their era is like, you know how niggas say, yeah, we're going to play some old shit. And then the motherfuckers start playing some Bach. Right. And then the shit just sound like a standard. Like the shit sounds like, you know, like this, when you go back, yes, y'all, that's a whole nother era.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, oh, you for real. You old school, right, that's right. What you say. You know what I mean? Oh, for real, that's what you want to do?
Right.
And then you go back further than that to like Kaz and all of that. Aha! Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
that shit hard, though.
It is, but it's just not, it's time to blend in to what's happening right now, yeah. I guess, you know. But they did so much, it's like, you know what I'm saying, how you gonna forget about Run DMC?
Yeah,
you know, they let it be known. They were the successful rappers that broke through and put rap on MTV and all the other stations when they wouldn't play shit else, but they'll play that Run DMC.
Yeah. They had one of the first OG logos too. That shit was OG logos.
They had the look, you know what I'm saying? The big ass chains.
And they archetypes. But look at that shit. That look like when you think of the genre of hip hop. They still hold that shit down. That's with the three hats.
Yeah. They came from an era where your show was orchestrated. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to a Run DMC show, even later in the years, like, they still do that routine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Jam Master J come out there, then, you know what I'm saying, he bring DMC out, and then they bring out Run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Run ain't coming out to y'all make some motherfucking noise. Right. I don't know if they was cussing. I don't think they was cussing.
Ain't that crazy? Everybody cuss so much now, cuss. Everybody curse so much now that you, like, you
forget that you niggas didn't curse.
Yeah. Yo, fucking Rakim was clean throughout his own shit.
Nah, he into Mahogany.
Oh, he cursed on Mahogany?
Fuck around and missed the show.
He missed the show. He was sick about that
shit. You know what
shit.
I'm saying? Like, I think he might have said something that they would bleep out on Eric B. for president.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right around, I thought it was a donut, tried to glaze me, but it's somewhere in there. But yeah, he kept it pretty clean for the most part. But they, you know, they had that routine, you know what I'm saying? And you knew it. And it was like, even though you knew it and you seen it before, when they get to that, you know what I'm saying? Not DJ Runs. My name, Jam Master J, is his. He DMC is like that. And that's, when you hit that shit, everybody go crazy every single time because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Even though you know it, you done seen it before. They just had that same routine. They ran that shit for about 20 years, man. And that shit was just as exciting every time when you saw that shit.
It's like the Dreams and Nightmares intro.
You know exactly.
It's the same. You know, heard that,
man. You know what I'm saying? For the last 3 years.
I just can't wait to power up. Oh, man. What else is going on? What you getting into this weekend?
Man, I had a interesting weekend. It was my wife's birthday.
Oh, word. Happy birthday.
On Sunday.
Shit.
You know, I was putting together a plan for that. And then I got this call, you know what I'm saying, about this, you know, This play that I may have wanted to be at the table at, you know what I'm saying?
At the table in a production capacity?
No, and just in a conversation capacity, you know what I'm saying? No set thing, but just an interesting table that I needed to be at, that I wanted to be at, that I should have been at, you know? But that shit was, the table was 3,000 miles away in L.A., you know what I'm saying, on Saturday, my wife's birthday, Sunday. You know, but it's the birthday weekend. You know what I'm saying? You can't really fuck up the birthday weekend.
Yeah.
So I debated on the shit Friday. You know, I sat, debated on the shit, talked to, you know what I'm saying? Talked to a couple people about it. It's like, man, you know, I respect, you know, you're not, you know, it's your wife's birthday. I respect that. You know what I'm saying? That's cool and shit. You know, that's some good shit. That's the shit you're supposed to do. But nigga, you know what I'm saying? You might want to be there. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I talked to somebody else, same kind of shit. I'm like, fuck. Woke up Saturday, asked my wife about it. You know. You know what I'm saying? You know how the wife is. She gonna be like, you should go. But then, you know, you don't know if that's a trick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Some shit you're gonna end up paying for later. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
can I skip your birthday?
Yeah, nah, we can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you've been out of town on birthday before. I'm like, yeah, but you know, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's on the record.
Yeah, it's definitely on the record. It's definitely on the record. Definitely on the record. But she was like, no, I'm serious. You should go. It's like, all right, boom. Looked up the flights, man. Found something, you know what I'm saying, on the motherfucking, I ain't even ever heard this shit. Somebody put me on this shit. Skip lagged.
Skip lag?
Skip lagged. LAGGED.
What's it like, an Expedia or something like that?
It's like that, but it's cheap.
Okay.
Because what they do is they find the cheapest flight that connects in your destination. And then you jump off without jumping on the connection. Okay. So shit almost sounded like a scam.
Right.
Well, I had to Google it 3-4 times, read about 4-5 articles on it to see if it was legit.
Yeah.
Shit legit. Uh-huh. They say you can't do the shit too often.
You get banned from the airport. Yeah, the TSA start knowing who y'all.
You know what I'm saying? But
skip lagging ass.
But you know what I'm saying? All the tickets going to LA was like $800. You know what I'm saying? And then $1,500 for the one that got me there in a good enough time for what I need to do.
This was on skip lagged?
No, this was on regular life.
Pre-skip lagged.
This is Orbitz, Expedia, direct to the airline.
What skip lag hit you with?
Skip lag was on $400.
Well, okay, what you had to do? Nigga, you had to jump in the dollar van?
Nah, it's a regular situation.
Okay.
You just don't jump on the last connection.
So where's it going?
My shit was going to Vegas.
How many connections did you do?
I had to go Charlotte to LA, and it was supposed to go on to Vegas.
Okay.
So I, jumped on, whoop, whoop, bang, got to LA, walked out. You know what I mean?
Oh, you did go?
Yeah, I went.
Oh, I didn't know you went. Oh,
yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I found a cheap flight.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, boom. So
how you like skip lagged?
I mean, like I said, it worked out. Like it ain't no shit you gonna do. You shouldn't do it on the shit you got points and miles with. You should do it on another airline you might not give a fuck about being banned from. Mm-hmm. Some shit, you know. Not banned, but you know, man. They tell you not to put your freaking flyer miles on there. They tell you not to do the shit often.
Why?
Huh? Because the airlines don't like it. They already took one motherfucker to court. Sued a nigga, but the motherfucker won.
Yeah, what did they sue him for? Because I'm trying to figure this out.
Getting over. Like, you know,
this nigga tried to get over on us.
They the pimps. You can't be out pimping the pimp.
But how are we out pimping them? Is it
because you're leaving an empty seat on a plane that, you know, they have reserved for your ass?
Right. So they flying off of capacity. So they saying, yo, we got 60 people on this flight. So that justifies us paying X amount of dollars for fuel and turn around. Only 4 motherfuckers can't.
Well, it ain't going to be 4. But, you know, the airline, like, are you ever on an empty flight?
You know what's so interesting that to think about? It's very rare. It's almost always, this flight is overbooked.
So overbooked. We need volunteers.
Which I think is bullshit, too.
But that's the way they doing it now. Before you would catch a flight, you would be empty because them niggas don't want to fly at 6 in the morning and shit.
So maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's, you know, that's them getting the taste of their own medicine. Because if you got a flight that's overbooked,
exactly,
you obviously don't give a fuck about somebody.
You don't give a fuck about somebody. You don't care. So now when the people, you know what I'm saying, put you in a situation where you stuck with a seat.
Yeah.
Which you probably ain't going to be, but you might be stuck with the seat. You going to have a problem with it. Because if everybody does this, then shit, we'd be stuck with a lot of seats. You stuck with 10 seats every situation across the damn world.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of motherfucking money.
What type of flights did they put you on?
It was a regular ass, some shit I would have been on anyway.
But you didn't. And did it make you feel a certain type of way that you couldn't use your frequent flyer miles? I want every flight to feel like something.
I was sick, but that's 3,000 miles. But I already hit one of my benchmarks, so I know I'm legit for next year.
Okay.
But I'm still trying to get to the Platy.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? Right. A good LA trip is good for your, you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Your motion in your frequent flyerness.
Of course. Yes.
So, but, you know, you got to, you know, weigh it out. Yeah, wear it out. You know, what do I want to make this, you know what I'm saying, as cheap as possible, or do I want to flex on my points?
So you did a good Sunday, LA.
Good Saturday afternoon.
To Monday?
No.
Sunday night?
I came back for my wife's birthday.
Oh, all right. There you go.
You know what I'm saying? So basically, here was the thing. All right, boom. If I go, I probably should stay, but then I'm going to really all the way miss the birthday. But if I go just for what I, you know, need to be there for, you know what I'm saying, then maybe I can make it back.
Yeah.
In time to celebrate, you know what I'm saying, with my wife. So cool. So I plan to come back to celebrate. But in the whole time I'm in that motherfucking air, I'm setting up you know what I'm saying, a situation at the house for my wife, you know what I'm saying, with her friends. I'm texting, I'm fucking ordering shit and food and, you know what I'm saying?
Masterminding.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Rachel Johnson, helped me out with, you know what I'm saying, some of the logistics.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? With some, what they call vendors.
Okay.
Put me with some good vendors that could turn around some shit last minute.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? So, she put me with the flowers. Because, you know, I don't usually, like I say, we all know that I'm not a big celebrator.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We ain't really celebrate shit.
Yeah, right.
So, you know what I'm saying? I had to be very conscious, and I had to call in the pros of celebration. And Rachel is a celebration pro.
Celebration pros.
She is a celebration pro.
Professional celebrants.
They know how to do a birthday.
Shout out to Rachel.
You know what I'm saying?
Guest.
So, she put me with a couple of vendors that, you know, could help me out in a crunch, in a pinch.
Dope.
You know what I mean? And the floor.
That know how to make some shit happen immediately.
Right, and right. So, you know, again, I'm not used to celebrating, so my wife ain't used to having no, you know what I mean? We have people over, but, it's, you know, we have food, have drink, have people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It'll be an event.
Yeah, so this time I'm in the air, I'm putting all this shit together. And, you know, I know my wife is already like, this nigga ain't going to do shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? She already got that in her voice.
Mm.
So I got
absentee ass.
Yo, absentee birthday celebrating ass.
Uh-huh.
But I got the kids involved. You know what I'm saying? Got the kids pick whatever gifts.
Allies.
You know what I'm saying? You know, pick their gifts how they want to celebrate their mama. And then, woo. You know, so I got it mostly done on the way out.
Okay.
Boom. Go to the table. You know what I'm saying?
You in the air making all of this.
Hey, I'm in the air. I bought the Wi-Fi.
How is that shit? That shit typically some bullshit.
It is some bullshit. But on American.
Mm-hmm. You was afraid to shout them out?
I was afraid to shout them out because, you know what I'm saying?
We got you.
That's what my point said.
Because listening to the podcast with your points and cut that motherfucker.
Get this motherfucker off. And I'm happy to be in my status where I'm at in American, so we're not going to talk too much about that. But they got the motherfucking free hour with T-Mobile, which was dope.
Oh, that's hard.
Because that shit worked great. Enough to let me put some plays in.
Uh-huh.
And then I bought the damn Boingo bullshit, and that shit didn't work for shit.
That's a hustle.
I'm like, I'd hit them and get my $16 back. But anyway, landed, you know what I'm saying? Went out to the situation. The city was electric. You know, it was LeBron's first game in the city.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So everything was electric. You could feel it in the air.
Right. We should talk about that,
too. The valet cracking and, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know.
Oh, at the hotel.
At the hotel.
It was a nice little spot.
Well, I had the Rendezvous Hotel.
What's that?
Because, you know, I had to meet up with my folks who was already in the game.
Okay.
If I landed earlier, I could have been in the game, but I did not. I wasn't there, so I can't claim to be. But I was in the environment.
It was at the post game.
I was at the environment. So when I landed, the game was going on. Went to the Ritz right there by the Staples Center because that sounded like a good rendezvous spot.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
To meet up with my folks.
I thought you was at the Rendezvous Hotel. I was like,
No. Rendezvous is like, you know, connect with
the
your connect, folks.
The situation.
You know, before phones, you had the rendezvous.
Gotcha.
Nigga, meet me at the corner of, you know what I'm saying?
Is that the definition of rendezvous?
Yeah, rendezvous is a meetup spot. It's like probably like an army term or some shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead and look at here.
It's French.
We like the French.
Yeah, all right. So
he wants official definition of rendezvous.
He's going in, but keep going. So wait, should we just wait on this?
No, man, you know, he should have it now. Where you at with it?
Come on, man.
A meeting at an agreed time and place, typically between two people.
Wow. I never knew that shit. Go ahead. The more you know. How many of y'all knew rendezvous meant that? And if you did, though, don't embarrass me.
What you thought rendezvous meant?
I thought it was like a rendezvous. A rendezvous always sounded like an illicit getaway, like a weekend.
Yeah, connection.
A getaway. Yeah, a rendezvous.
Yeah, we going to rendezvous at the Blase Skip.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Shit. Yeah. Right.
So
shout out to the French.
I felt like, you know, the Ritz would be a good rendezvous spot because it's right by Staples. It was like, you know.
I like how you just incorporate that shit. That's hard.
What?
I'm sorry. I sound ridiculous. I sound like Nori getting very excited about the word. No, I'm just saying.
Oh, I incorporate rendezvous.
Yeah, you got rendezvous rocking. Yeah, no, but it's smooth. It's smooth. It don't even feel out of place. Keep going. So go ahead.
Because it's not, nigga.
Killing this shit. Go ahead, man.
So, you know, I went there because it's a lobby. You know, you could post up, you know, use a good, you know, restroom. You know,
right.
You ain't forced to do shit.
Right.
But they had the game on all over the lobby. You know, shit was everywhere. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And it was exciting in that bitch because it's connected. It's also connected to another hotel, the Marriott.
All of this is connected to the Staples Center.
And it's right there connected to the Staples Center per se. So, you know, it's cracking in there. They got a TV's problem. They got a fucking DJ. You know what I'm saying? They got a black side and a white side. You know what I'm saying? The black side had a DJ. And they're not an official line that said black and white.
Of course.
But, you know,
I would hope not.
The white folks was at the bar where they, you know, had the little restaurant. And, you know what I mean? It was pretty subdued and the game was on. But they also had the Dodgers shit playing. And, you know what I'm saying? And another sport or some shit.
Probably
playing.
Hockey or some.
So they had all that going.
Right.
But then they had a bar across the way that had a DJ and only the Lakers shit playing.
Spades
game. They had one TV of the Dodgers shit popping because, you know, Magic Johnson won the owners or some shit. You know how that go.
Like that's the only reason.
They other niggas going to the World Series and all, but, you know, it was because of Magic.
Keep an eye on his money.
You know what I mean? And then, like I said, that was like the black side. Everybody had it over there popping. Niggas was, and I walked in as right before the fight shit, because
I wanted to know how did that impact everything? Because that shit. Let's talk
again. It was exciting. I think Cass was they was hyped about the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga, the fight was exciting.
I was like, oh shit!
I would like to see that. I would love to see a rematch, like a real set it up with Rondo and Chris Paul go three rounds for charity. Just throw some, because first of all, it felt like.
I don't
like
think they're going to make three rounds, dog.
They might not. But
They could run up and down the court, but they look a little winded after them flew blows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a whole other exercise.
They ain't used to doing all of that shit. They ain't used to getting punched in the face.
Nah, you got to think, get punched in the face and fight back?
By NBA nigga.
It took CP3 a second to collect his thoughts.
Said, did this nigga just punch me in my face? But he had a nice little two-piece on him.
He came back with something, but if you watch it, it took a little woo-woo.
Yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah.
He gathered himself pretty quick, but it was a gathering that had to happen.
Yeah, depending on what account you want to believe, I mean, he seemed to be shocked by the whole shit, because first of all, nigga spit in your face.
Right.
So now you already like, yo, what the fuck? Your man just. But I know this nigga didn't. So then you doing that.
But he kind of, you know, everybody said they would have swung on him first. But Chris Paul is smart in that he knew the closed fist shit would get you suspended for a game.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? It connected closed fist, another game.
Yeah.
So he hit him with the good mush.
Yeah, they could check him.
Which is not a closed fist.
Nah.
But, you know, definitely an aggressive move.
Absolutely.
That.
With the pointer finger mush,
a pointer finger mush,
which puts a lot of pressure.
Listen,
right on that, right
listen,
there.
Listen, that is that is everyone's hood anxiety.
Yeah,
to get mushed.
Yeah,
like that's worse than getting swung on. A mush, because it's a sign of authority, authoritative move that says, "Little motherfucker, you fuck with me a motherfucking again," as they poking you upside the head.
Very aggressive.
Like that's. That's a different sign than just a straight up, we gonna fight.
Because it's almost like I'm sunning you.
You definitely
did. And I'm aggressively showing you that I'm still holding restraint.
Right.
While aggressively disrespecting you.
Because I should be whooping your ass, but I'm not. I'm letting you know.
And you can feel this restraint. In the
smush. Yeah, but it's restrained. No, it's restrained until the two fingers get to your temple. After that, it's the push-off that's disrespectful.
Ooh.
The push-off after the two fingers connect with your skin, all up in your face, wherever it lands, maybe your nose or right up under your cheekbone. Once the two fingers touch the skin,
it's disrespectful.
Then the push-off is where you get your maximum amount of disrespect.
Now, let me ask you this. What is more disrespectful? The push off, and then look at a motherfucker like, yeah, nigga. Or the push off, step off, not even worried about repercussion. What is the worst? One is very, very dangerous, but what is the worst, a higher level of disrespect?
Well, again, that's post push off. That's
post mush. I'm
post mush. You know what I'm saying? The walk away could be taken in a couple ways. Like, oh, this nigga just walking off and shit. Like,
yeah,
you know
but
what
he
saying?
Didn't mush you.
You know what I'm saying?
It was a mush.
It was definitely a mush. It could be taken. To stand there and look at your face and then.
And what?
And then cock your head to the side, to the left, you know what I'm saying, about 30 degrees.
Yeah.
That is disrespectful. You got to swing on that motherfucker.
Oh, you got to swing.
Right away.
Yeah.
Right away. You know what I mean? It's just what Rondo did, you know? Rondo, it was all bets was off after you getting mushed. Because now the conversation is, you don't let that nigga mush you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's in front of millions.
That's the instigation that always comes after the mush.
Yeah.
Oh, you going to let that nigga mush you?
Now, what you feel about LeBron kind of holding Chris Paul back? And now that's his man, and I think his God... What are the godfather for to his kids, but it's also a Rocket, and LeBron is a Laker.
Right.
What you think?
LeBron was just, you know, playing LeBron. You know, the judge and the jury and all things on top of playing over the above the fray.
Above this whole NBA
yeah,
shit.
Above all of this shit. You retarded motherfuckers. What's wrong with y'all?
He watching this game like Magic watching the Dodgers.
Exactly.
Like, look at these niggas over here.
Like, what is... But CP, you should be smarter than
fucking
that.
With my money.
You the president of the Players Association.
Come on now.
But then, but you did see how CP3 could not get out of that one-arm hold LeBron had on his ass.
I mean, LeBron a big motherfucker.
He was stuck in that bitch.
I got to watch it again. Nigga was arrested.
He could not move from that. Then he was embraced.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. Then you got your man Brandon Ingram. He's trying to get his stripes.
Come on.
He ain't trying to get a rap.
For no particular reason.
Super disrespectful shove of Harden, though.
Yeah, definitely. But
He definitely started.
He went for it. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely one of them things where they had pushed them young cats to the edge of their intelligence. Brandon Ingram ain't had nothing left. Mm. But he just said, fuck it. He was just out of control. He didn't.
Why was it a blowout?
No, it was not a blowout. This shit was a 1-point game when the fight started.
Why you feel like they pushed him to the edge of their intelligence?
Because CP3 and Harden, they masters of fucking getting in your head and talking shit and, you know what I'm saying, cooking on you. And, you know what I'm saying? They masters of that shit. That's what they do. Yeah. They are instigators. Yeah. But on the low with the cool, you know what I'm saying?
Terrorize your ass.
A finesse brand of instigation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Make you look crazy. And they gaslighting your ass on the court.
And that's what happened to Brandon Ingram. Like, you know, all the little aggressive things Harden was doing to him that goes unchecked by the refs because he do it so slick and it don't look like nothing from a little man on a big guy like you. That's what Brandon Ingram, he just couldn't take it no more.
Oh, I didn't even see.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at the play and then, like, Harden was coming down with the outlet pass or whatever, and when he got up on Ingram, he kind of pushed his body into him, but then upon, you know, once you know, his body connects, then he gives him a little and then push off of him.
Right.
And
sucker.
It's like some shit that the ref ain't gonna see and ain't gonna call. Yeah. But you like, man, this nigga motherfucker, I was not even fucking with you and you just gonna come and lean all into me. Man, what the fuck? And then they gonna call this shit. So you just mad. Now you can't even think your way out of the situation. You just push them all out the blue. You couldn't even wait for the next play down the court. None of that. You all out your hookup. Mm. So now that's what it is. And now they fighting. It ain't really got nothing to do with you. The shit's kind of under control, but you coming over the top to swing on CP3?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You supposed to be swinging on Harden.
No.
You just like, fuck it. I'm all the way out the gate.
Wildin'.
I'm with all this.
All the smoke.
You know what I'm saying? I want all of it.
Oh man! So
that was
so the rendezvous. So when the fight's happening,
you know the audience, everybody they enter, they like, oh shit! Like you could just feel like it's a new energy in LA. Like
LA
they,
feel good.
They like they feeling like, you know, they kept talking about, you know what I'm saying, the Magic era. You know what
and
I'm
this
saying?
A hotel lobby or
this
some
a hotel
restaurant?
Lobby. Okay. This is a hotel. This is a big ass hotel lobby.
That's fire.
You know what I'm saying? But they have a bar and like a little, you know, bar
downtown.
Like a bar situation in the hotel. And then when you look out the back, it's like the walkway to the Staples Center right there.
Okay.
So that's where they got the big ass poster, the Just Do It poster.
Okay.
So it was hype. Everybody was hype, you know what I'm saying? Even though the game kind of, you know, they kind of lost steam after that. They lost two of their starters, and they end up losing the game. But everybody was like, okay. It feel like everybody got their money's worth.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Showtime again.
Yeah, Showtime again. You know, so then you know, rendezvous with my folks, and then you know, went to Chow's,
mm-hmm.
and you know what I mean, was at the table. It's a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? 6 o'clock, flew back New York. Touchdown 2:30.
6 o'clock a.m.
6 a.m.
Okay.
So yeah, so went back straight back to the airport,
uh-huh.
and then took the fuck off.
Okay.
Slept in the air.
Skipped lag, all of that. It was no lagging.
Nah, no lagging.
And then
got back and did the thing for my wife's birthday.
Nice. It was nice. Came off without a hitch.
You know what I'm saying? Wasn't it? It was a few hitches, but okay. You know what I'm saying? It was okay. You know, I dealt with it. You know what I'm saying?
She was surprised.
No, it wasn't a surprise, but you know what I'm saying? It was put together in a way that gave her all of the things that she liked. You know what I mean? I could have spent less and did less,
uh-huh.
or I could have spent money on something else that was like, you know, more mm-hmm. of a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like this was appropriate.
Okay.
And, you know, two of her best friends, they brought their husband. I bought food and the drinks and all that shit. And then the flowers was late,
mm-hmm.
but they was right on time.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you could feel that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they, you know, everything was, you know, set up, everybody was going, but it was supposed to be there for decoration when people got there, mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying?
The cherry on top at the end.
Yeah, so at the end they came in, them shits, you know what I'm saying, was some dope ass shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Looking like some real ass shit that I ain't never bought before. That I ain't never had up in my house.
New, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, shit, this shit feel comfortable in this bitch.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. And you know, when she did come out and see him, you know what I'm saying, she was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh.
Leveled
okay.
up.
Okay.
Fresh shit. Off the jet from LA.
You know what I'm saying? So it all worked out, man. So I got to knock two birds out with one stone and, you know, move the chess piece across the chessboard a little bit, you know what I mean, on some situations that I need to be working out.
Yeah,
and, you know, at the end, like, you know, because I made this whole, not a big deal, but it's like, you know, it's important. When I was pitching it to my wife, per se. And so, you know, at the end, she was like, well, see what happened? And then, you know, really the story is I landed, you know what I'm saying? We went to eat, went by the crib, chopped it up, and I came home.
Uh-huh.
That's anticlimactic as fuck. After he done flew 3,000 miles, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what it sounds. So she was like, you know, was it worth it? I was like, oh, yeah, it's worth it. Basically, I spent, you know, possibly $600 to have dinner with one of the top motherfuckers in the game,
uh-huh.
you know what I'm saying, and kick it at their crib,
uh-huh.
and shit, I would do that shit again, and I ain't had to pay for the dinner, so shit, that knocks a couple hundred off, you know what I'm saying, shit, you know what I'm saying.
And the dinner was free.
So, it was, you know, that's shit, that's a $300 value.
It was an investment,
you know what I mean. So, yeah, it was worth it, cause I'm sure this nigga's on they line like shit, trying to get in at this moment.
You got to boss up.
So yeah, it was definitely worth it.
That's what's up. That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
That was my weekend.
That's what's up. Speaking of more black love, did you see the Red Table with Jada Pinkett and Will Smith?
No, I heard. No, I think I heard about it.
Oh man.
Wow, what
that
happened?
That shit is good. That shit is good, man. That shit is...
About their relationship?
Yeah, that shit is real. That's only the first part. They only put the first part out, like the first half.
What's something you took away from it?
I mean, they got a understanding. You could tell they got they sound like two drug dealers that hustled together for years and years, and they it's understood.
Right.
It was some interesting... it was interesting, man. It was just... It's interesting to see... a relationship that is put on high by so many people, like kind of, you know, obviously it's deliberate and it's a show, but they pull the curtain back and they kind of talk about mm-hmm. the real shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think sometimes when in relationships, when real shit happen, you know, real shit happen in all relationships, but it's often good to see, especially when you see so-called magnificent relationships or what people would call relationship goals. I don't believe in all of that, but you know, people that have these type of great unions,
mm-hmm.
even they go through some real shit and some crazy shit.
Right.
Like, so some interest. It was ill. It was ill.
It was interesting.
You should check it out. It's kind of cool. That's a cool little program.
Yeah, I heard. I seen some of it. I never watched the whole thing.
Yeah. And you see that the spot is at their house. Their house turned into like the set. So there's like on Will Smith's YouTube, he's going through it like, this used to be my house, but now they even took the shit over. But it's still a ill, humble stunt. Right. It's a mean stunt.
At this point,
it ain't even a stunt.
At that level, everything's a stunt to, right. You know what I'm saying, the average Joe.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, nigga got a big ass life.
Yeah. You know? It was interesting. It was interesting, man. Yeah. So check that out, man. what else? I saw mid-90s, the new Jonah Hill movie.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
It was cool. I liked it. It was real nostalgic. Like, nice little sentimental, what do you call them type of movies? It's one of them A24, it's a pretty good movie. 90s nostalgia, all heavy, skate, it's all about skating, so it kind of reminds you of, makes me want to go rewatch Kids,
Is it raw? Is it, you know what I'm saying?
It's not as raw as, say, Kids is. It's not maybe as nihilistic as Kids is, but it's good. It's some raw moments in there. Some interesting scenes, like between the older brother and him. Mm-hmm. The movie opens up on some wild shit. Mm-hmm. It's some moments in there.
I'm gonna go check it out.
Huh?
I'm gonna go check that shit out.
Yeah, I think you dig it. I saw that, and I saw Halloween too. Right. So the new Halloween. That shit was cool all the way to the end.
Right.
The end was a little but overall, typically I don't even really fuck with those type of movies. I just went there to kill some time. I had some time between sets, and it lined up perfectly, so I went there, checked it out, and I didn't realize Danny McBride is involved in that shit, which is dope. I fuck with Danny McBride. He got a new joint coming out with John Goodman on HBO, where they play televangelist, which is gonna be ridiculous. But it had a nice little scary factor, you know what I mean? The score was nice. Michael Myers was really killing motherfuckers. He wasn't sparing. Like, he was getting rid of motherfuckers, which I like to see. Like, if it's going to be some horror, let's make this shit gory. Jamie Lee Curtis did her thing. She's still Jamie Lee Curtis. Still,
80s cable actor.
Yeah, still action here. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then there's this little young black boy, who is mad funny in the shit. kept it 100.
True.
Shout out to that.
I'd never followed any of those.
I haven't either.
Halloween, Friday the 13th. I think I saw Friday the 13th and shit. I saw Freddy.
Oh, I seen Freddy.
And that shit didn't.
Never did nothing for you?
Nah.
Sorry, guy. That's what it is. You seen Paula Abdul took a mean spell. See that shit? She was on the stage performing and got too close to the edge and
Oh man, well, like Busta did that time?
They say she fell head first too, but they say she got right back up, got it cracking. I only seen the fall. I ain't see the get up.
Yeah.
They need to put the get up on
Paula
there too.
Paula Abdul getting a little up there to be. Take a spill.
I mean,
Saying, that could have been a bad situation.
Could have been ugly.
I'm glad. I hope she all right.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Well, there you go. Speaking of which, on some unfortunate, we back into the unfortunate. And then we're gonna finish up with a smile, I guess.
But, smile, bitch.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Come on.
So speaking of, this rapper died. Did you hear about this shit? Rapper died.
That's how it came up on my notifications too. Rapper died.
Right.
Trying to walk on a wing of a plane.
Why are we doing this?
But like that off top, I made me not want to read it because like rapper dies. Why ain't just name check the cat?
Well, because he's not popular guy.
Yeah, Canada or some shit.
I saw a stunt rapper, which I've never heard before. They called him a stunt rapper. You know what? Probably says update, a skydiver who died in BC's South Interior over the weekend has been identified as Calgary-born rap artist John James McMurray. So maybe now, maybe
they're saying rapper died.
It was a rapper.
They were like, let's put him, but they like, he's not that famous.
Say rapper. All right,
just say rapper.
Rapper will work. Rapper will get a click. But he died. He tried to rap. I guess play the guitar. Playing the guitar. He tried to rap on the wing
right.
of a plane. And there's only two ways to that.
But they said he had the motherfucking parachute on. They said he held on to the wing too long for the parachute to work.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, she probably was scared as fuck, nigga.
Hell yeah. So I mean, you know, look, man. Rest in peace, man. I don't even want to go no further. Sad. It's only two ways that ends. We talked about it with Will the other week. Nigga, when you play that game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you either triumphant or...
or you're cautionary, or you rapper dead.
No doubt.
Woo!
So how are we smiling?
Oh, shit. Yeah, man.
Living my best life.
Well, speaking of living your best... How the fuck did I sound like CBS Sunday Morning? Speaking of living your best life, the Flaunt Your Wealth Challenge sweeps through China. Flaunt Your Wealth, hashtag Falling Stars Challenge becomes much.
What the fuck is that?
This is some shit that's going on in the Chinese internet with these kids.
Flaunt Your Wealth?
Flaunt Your Wealth Challenge. So the shit is basically, it's like the Shiggy Challenge for rich Chinese cats. Mm-hmm. So basically what they do, they try to set up like a photo or a video of them falling out of their car, which is from fly shit, and then all of their belongings just scattered everywhere, and then that's where the stunt is. So, hold on, let me show you how that shit look.
Falling out your car is fly.
Oh, man, come on.
I mean, nobody. Okay, if they having fun, they having fun, you know what
I'm saying? It's a new way to start.
It's off of the internet, you know what I mean?
Man, they ain't letting me see nothing without logging in. But you see. You see, you fall and then all.
Any cautionary tales in that?
What you mean?
Some motherfuckers fell out of their car and.
Not yet.
Bust their head wide open?
Not yet.
Bust their melon to the white meat?
Not yet. They ain't get their mango split so they can go still fit. All right. Oh, shit. Let me say this.
Oh, shit.
Yo, speaking of celebrating my birthday is Sunday, man. I'm feeling like you.
You're a week right after my wife.
Yeah, I got to figure out what I'm going to do, man. I got to do something. I'm trying to
celebrate.
I'm going to celebrate.
Celebrate, dog.
I'll let y'all know. But where you going to be this week, man?
I'm going to be here. We got Cavassier, Honor Your Code on Thursday. And then a possible DC jaunt on Monday before we do this, and then Chicago.
Okay.
Then I'll be back here in the conversation.
That's what's up. That's what it is.
I think that's how it works.
All right.
What's up with you?
Shit. I'm going to be on Comedy Knockout tonight on True TV, 11 p.m. And then between the next time you hear me, I'll be getting, not a year older, but I'll be celebrating my birthday. And I'll be back. And when I come back, between now and then, you tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
That's what I say.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.